This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
How many people are getting a handle on the grace of God? How many people are believing for more grace in your life? And I don't know about you, but I need more of God's grace. Amen. And so we've been in the series and we've been discovering that God graces us to do the impossible. And God's grace is His ability on men and women to accomplish His plans and His purposes for our lives. You believe that today? God's grace is His ability on us. I'm going to say that again. God's grace is His ability on us. Say, God's grace on me. His ability. So it's our availability, but it's His ability. Think about this. Think about this. The grace that was on Peter. Think about this. When he was on the boat and Jesus was walking on the water. Think about this. That the grace caused Peter to walk on water. Now you think that's only possible for Jesus. But it wasn't just for Jesus. It was for Peter as well, or anybody that was willing to step out of the boat. And I'm going to say this. If you're willing to step out of the boat in your life, God will hold you up on any water that you think won't hold you up on. But you got to be willing to step out of the boat. See, some people aren't willing to step out of the boat. But you got to be willing. Say, I'm willing to step out of the boat. So really, it's God's grace. It's His divine ability on us to accomplish His plans and His will for us. Amen? Every person that God calls into the kingdom, He graces. Can I say that again? Every person that God calls into the kingdom, He graces. Amen? And so we know this, and the grace is not just for us. And grace can help us. Amen? Because we need God's grace for His help. But God's grace is for others. God's grace on our life is not just for us, but it's for others. Can I get an amen here? So the grace that God places, you know, like the worship team, you know, they love to worship and they enjoy worshiping. We got the drummer, we got the piano, we got the people worshiping and they love it, but it's not just for them. They get a blessing because when they come off the platform really high on the Lord. Amen. But it's for you guys. It's for us. Say, my grace is for you. That's powerful. That's powerful. You got to get a revelation of that. Your grace is for somebody else. You got to think about that. You got to think about that. Amen. And so Jesus, you know, right before Jesus was taken up, right before He was taken up to heaven, the last things He said to His disciples, normally the last thing somebody says before they leave this earth are like the most important thing that they say. And so Jesus said some things to the disciples right before He left. And so you need to pay attention to what He said right before He left, because those are the most important things. And He said in Mark 16, 15 through 18, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Amen. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we see here that these are like supernatural signs that God gives the believer so that He can affect the people around him. God gives us supernatural grace, amen, so that we could speak in new tongues, glory to God, that we can cast out demons. You know, demons are powerful, but you and God are more powerful. And you have the power over devils. You can cast devils out of people. Amen. Do you believe that today? You can set the captives free. There's people bound up all over the world. They're bound up by religion. They're bound up by demonic spirits. And we have, say, I have the power. And you have the power to lay hands on the sick. See, I'm saying something today. The grace of God is not just for us. It's for others. We come to church because we want to receive something. I understand that. I get that. But you receive something to give something. I'm going to say that again. You receive something to give something. Say, I'm receiving something to give something. So God has given the church power to proclaim his name to a lost and dying world. Amen? So Jesus instructed, so the early church was instructed by Jesus. Not only did Jesus tell them that they were going to walk in the power, but he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were empowered from on high. And this is powerful because, grace, I've been preaching on grace we're on the 12th week on grace. Amen. And grace is likened to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. So if grace is on you and grace is in you, you can say the Holy Spirit's in you and the Holy Spirit's upon you to do something amazing. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. So when we're talking about grace, the whole series is we're really talking about the Holy Spirit. Because if you have God's grace, you have God's Holy Spirit. And so he said to his disciples, he said, before you go out preaching, laying hands on the sick, before you start casting out devils, matter of fact, you can't even do these wonderful signs and miracles until you are empowered from on high. Until you get into the throne room, until you get into the upper room where God can empower you to do the miraculous. And I'm going to say this, if you're not spending time in the upper room with God, if you're not spending time in his presence, you're going to lack his power. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? No presence, no power. And you got to get into his presence to get his power. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And we know that the early church waited to receive power endued from on high. And they received, the early church received the power of God. And the Bible said that the early church that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when you're saved, you get the Spirit of God in you. When you get baptized, you get the Spirit of God upon you. Somebody say, in me, upon me. And when God's in you and God's upon you, then there's nothing you can't do in God. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, he's in me and he's upon me. And so we're talking about grace today. We're talking about God's grace being in us and upon us. Amen. And we know this, that his grace can make us bold in the face of adversity. We know that Peter was frightened when Jesus, he had an act of faith and courage when he tried to chop off that man's head, and he wasn't a good swordsman because he only cut his ear off. And Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword, and he put the guy's ear back. That was one of Jesus' last miracles was healing somebody. And so, but Peter denied Jesus three times. Amen. But now change the situation. Jesus empowered Peter in the upper room. And instead of denying Jesus, he's confessing Jesus in front of thousands of people. Think about that. And so Peter preached a sermon that won 3,000 people into the kingdom of God. I'm going to say this. You might be timid today, but you're going to be bold tomorrow. You're going to be bold when you leave this church today, because timidity is leaving the body of Christ. We're not going to be timid any longer. We're not going to be afraid any longer. We're not going to hold back any longer. No, we're going to keep pressing in until we see the glory of God, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people that we connect with. Amen? Do you believe that today? So the grace of God caused Peter and John to be bold when facing opposition. And they faced opposition with the Pharisees. They, you know, Peter and John healed a man at the gate called Beautiful. And so the Pharisees, and they preached in Jesus' name. And the Pharisees did not like that, because the Pharisees was all caught up into religion. And religion will always control and bind people. I'm going to say again, religion will always control and bind people, but Christianity is not religion, it's a relationship. And where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. So God's Spirit will always cause us to walk in freedom from the powers of the dark forces that's coming in this world and that's working in this world system. So they were arrested, and they were questioning John and Peter and John about this miracle, and they didn't like it because it was gaining notoriety. You see, when you walk in the power of God, the devil will notice. People will notice, and it may cause a stir. It may cause people to start talking. And the devil doesn't want people talking about the power of God. The devil wants to keep people dumbed down in this life. And so, you know, when Jesus preached, he preached with authority. And Paul said, my preaching wasn't with men's, you know, wisdom, but was demonstrated by the power of God. And so God has power in his word. You believe that today? And so it says here, so in Acts 4:18, it says, so they called them and commanded them, the Pharisees commanded John and Peter, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. So Peter, you know, he pushed back on the Pharisees. He said, listen, I know we're in custody. You might be strong-arming us and keeping us in custody. And you might be telling us not to preach in the name of Jesus. But what we see and what we heard and what we experience in Jesus Christ, you can't stop us. And I'm going to say this, the grace of God working in our lives can't stop us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish in this life. You believe that today? And so Peter and John was released from custody and came back to the church. And they prayed a prayer. And sometimes when you pray a prayer, you pray, Lord, please help me not to be thrown into jail again. Please help me not to be persecuted. But they didn't pray a prayer like that. They prayed a prayer, and this is a prayer that we need to be praying when we are coming out of problems, when we're encountering problems. We need to be praying like this. In Acts 4:29-30, it says, now, Lord, this is what they said. Now, Lord, look at their threats, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people of that time. Look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant. So we see here that we don't need to be praying that God keeps us from persecution. We need to be praying that God gives us some boldness in the persecution. In other words, what is the persecution designed to do? What is the heat designed to do? To make us fearful. It's the devil wants to scare you out of the things of God. The devil likes to threaten you. He said, you go this way. You know, you start talking about Jesus, people may not like you. People might counsel you. You start talking about Jesus, they might shut down your Facebook account or your YouTube account. Don't worry about that. Just keep talking about Jesus. And you need to ask God, when you're coming through a circumstance or when you're dealing in a circumstance, to give your boldness in that circumstance. To give you boldness. It's the bold people that will accomplish great things in God. It's not the smartest people. Some people, oh, that guy's smart. It's the boldest people. Do you have some intestinal fortitude? Do you have some courage? Do you have some guts? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Do you have backbone and not wishbone? Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to get some backbone and not just some wishbone to move forward in the things of God. Amen? So we see here there were two things they did. They prayed that God would grant them boldness, number one, and then they prayed that healing, signs, and wonders would take place in their presence. So what should we be praying for? We should be praying for boldness, and we should be praying for God's miracle power to be working in our lives every day of our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I'm believing God for more miracles to start coming to pass, not only in my life, but in your lives as well. So as a result of those two prayers, of them asking God for boldness and miracles, this is the result. This is where we're at, and this is where we're heading. In Acts 4:33, it says, "And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace upon them all." So we see here, this is our main text that we've been going with for the past 12 weeks. Great power and great grace. And that's where we're going at. If the church started out with great power, and I'm going to say this to you today, the church is going to end in great power. You start off with great power, and you're going to end in great power. God is raising the church in the end days to walk in miracles, and when we are walking in those miracles, the unbelievers will see it, and they will come running to God, because miracles is the dinner bell for the loss. And I'm telling you, I don't know how God's going to grow this church. I believe it's going to be miracles, glory to God. And we won't be able to hold the people back when the miracles are flooding in to this house. Do you believe that today? We won't be able to hold back the crowds, glory to God. Because people want to see God move. People want to see the miraculous, miracle-working power of God. Amen? So let's look at a scripture pertaining to increase. Because I believe in this series that we're increasing in the grace of God. Say, I'm increasing in the grace of God. And if you increase in the grace of God, your life is going to be easier. Amen. In other words, the greater grace you walk under, the easier your life becomes. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so it says here in Luke 2:52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Look at that word increase. That's what I want to focus and zero on this morning. Notice it said that Jesus increased. Jesus is our pattern. Jesus came down here to be a pattern. You could say a pattern for the disciples to be like. So the disciples were really being discipled. A disciple is a person that becomes like their teacher. So Jesus was discipling his disciples, and he was a pattern to become to help them to become what God wants them to become. Amen. And so Jesus is a pattern, and Scripture says Jesus increased in these areas. Jesus increased in wisdom. Somebody say, I'm increasing in wisdom. Hopefully you're hopefully you're not getting dumber. Amen. Hopefully in this walk that you're not doing dumber things. Amen. Hopefully hopefully you're getting a little smarter. Hopefully you're getting a little bit more wisdom. Amen. I thought I was younger than yesterday. Sometimes you think you're younger than you really are. I'm not as young as I used to be. And I was with my son. He has a scooter. Both my sons have scooters, Christopher and Christian. And Christian likes to go out on his scooter and ride his scooter. And normally I have mom do that. Amen. But she wasn't home. And so Christian wanted to go out. And so I grabbed Christopher's scooter. Of course, it's a little small for me, but I still can ride it, man, like the best of us. And I was riding that scooter and Christian is real smart. He goes all around the neighborhood. He knows how to do it. I mean, he knows exactly the entire area. And it's got to be at least a mile. So I went out with him to go scootering. And I'm on that small scooter, right? And I'm thinking, I'm young, man. I remember when I used a skateboard, and I'm reminiscing about that. And now Christian's getting ahead of me, and he's way ahead of me. I said, man, I better catch up. And I start scootering real fast, and all of a sudden I hit a bump, and I hit the ground. And then, you know, right here in my hand, do you see the boo-boo on my hand? And I'm like, man, I hit the ground. And this lady stopped the car. Are you okay? And I'm gasping. I said, yeah, I'm all right. Nothing's hurt but my pride. Nothing's hurt. I got up because, you know, us men, we don't feel any pain. Men, when we encounter problems, we feel no pain. It's all right. It's all right. It's okay. You know, and I'm trying to walk straight, man, but I'm like, Jesus, Jesus. Has anybody been there? And I was hurt, brother. I was hurt, brother, but I was all right. I started walking with the scooter from the rest of the time. I wasn't scooting because I was going fast. I was like, man, I'm really moving. Thank God for his grace. Amen. Thank God I'm here today. Amen. And I said, Christian, stop. And he stopped. And he waited for me to catch up with him as I walked with the scooter, as I hobbled behind him. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying God's grace can help you when you do stupid things. When you think you're younger than you really are. And I learned a lesson. That's why Yin never uses the scooter. She always walks. I should have learned something from Yin. Amen. She never runs on Christopher's scooter. Well, it's a small scooter. It's not built for a guy, you know, for an adult. Amen. But I thought I could ride it. Amen. But I'm going to say this, the grace of God can only go so far. It can only go so far, amen, until stupidity takes over, amen? And so Jesus's grace, what am I saying here? Jesus's grace can give us wisdom, amen? And you can either learn from the Holy Spirit of not what to do, or you can learn through the school of hard knocks. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And I want to learn through the Holy Spirit of what not to do than learn from the school of hard knocks. Can I get a witness in the house today? Has anybody ever learned through the school of hard knocks? Have you ever tried to do it on your own? Try to do it your way? And then you found out it doesn't work that way? And then you say, God, I think I need your help. Have you ever tried to ask God for help? Amen. Maybe you should start asking God for help before you start the project. Amen. Jesus' grace gives us wisdom, number one. Jesus' grace increases us in stature, which is the quality and status gained by growth, development, and achievement. So Jesus' grace causes us to develop and to grow and to achieve. Amen. Jesus' grace not only causes us to move in that area, but Jesus' grace, another word for grace is favor, and his favor can guard us and protect us. The Bible says that the grace of God is like favor, and favor is like a shield, and that shield can protect us from what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. Somebody say, I'm increasing in wisdom, stature, and favor today to accomplish the will and purpose of God in my life. Amen. So today I want to focus on giving place to the grace. Giving place to the grace. In other words, we got to perceive that God has put grace in our lives. And when you don't perceive something, you can't take advantage of it. I'm going to say again, if you don't perceive what God is doing in your life, how can you thank Him for it? In other words, if you can't perceive the grace that God has placed on your life, you can't perceive the giftings and the talents He has given you, that's God's grace, then how are you going to be able to expand those things in your life? We're talking about expanding or increasing the grace, and you must perceive to receive. Perceive to receive. Glory to God. So God is raising each one of us up to do extraordinary things in this life. You might say, I'm an average person. God specializes in average. God specializes in people that have average abilities, average talent. And with God's grace on the average, with God's grace on the ordinary, it makes you extraordinary. With God's grace on the ordinary, it can make you extraordinary. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, I'm extraordinary. Amen. So we must recognize the grace invested in us to change things for better, not only for ourselves, but for others. When Peter and John raised the crippled man at the gate called Beautiful, remember, they raised that crippled man, and Peter knew he had something better to offer than natural resources. Now, I'm going to go somewhere this morning, because a lot of times we as Christians focus on the natural a lot of times in our prayer life. What am I saying? Sometimes we focus on, Lord, if I can have a car, if I can have a house, if I can have something material, if I can have money, that could fix my problem. But that may not be the thing that could fix your problem. Money might not be the thing that fix your... money can help you. If you have a bad attitude and you don't have any money, it's not going to help you. And if you have money and you still have a bad, it's not going to help you. Amen. In other words, money may make you comfortable in your struggle, but that's all it can do is make you comfortable. But only God's power can change you. I would say again, money can help some areas and make you comfortable, but only God's power can change you. You see, the man that was begging at the gate called Beautiful, he was begging for money so he could survive. See, it's time for us to move from survival to revival. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And this man at the gate called Beautiful was begging for alms. That was the only way he could live. And Peter knew what he had and what he didn't have. And grace will let you know what you have and what you don't have. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. See, he knew his limitations. See, you got to know your limitations. You got to know the limitations of the natural. The natural will only take you so far. I'm going to say again, the natural will only take you so far, but you need the supernatural. The natural will only take you so far, but you need the supernatural grace of God in your life. You can't make people love you. You can't make people do things for you. You can't do that. You can't make people favor you. Only God can put favor on your life and cause people to do things for you. Oh, my Lord Jesus. I could get people witnessing right now of how God has blessed them And they had nothing to do with it, but it was just by God's grace. Say, only by God's grace. So Peter said, silver and gold do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. Peter recognized that he had something. He recognized that he had the name of Jesus that could change the trajectory of that man's life. You see, that man was looking for a hand out, but Peter gave him a hand up. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, a lot of people are looking for a hand out. A lot of these people on the streets, a lot of these people that are begging for money. And I notice it's always the same people at the same corner. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. So I saw that. That's the same lady that was there last week. That's the same gentleman that was there. Why? Because that's their profession. But it's not biblical. Because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. In other words, God gives us opportunity. His grace gives us opportunity. And His grace gives us ability. But some would say, well, they are working. They're working for their handout. Amen. They're standing in the hot sun. Amen. And people are feeding into that. People are feeding that. Now, I'm not downing these people. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm just saying that there's a better way. Somebody say there's a better way. They don't have to be doing that. Of course, some of them getting in their BMW afterwards and going to their nice house because they're making a good living. But anyway, because some of them do make a lot of money what they do. Amen. But we're not called to extort money from people. Amen. We're called to be a blessing to people. Somebody say blessed to be a blessing. So Peter knew he possessed something greater than money. He possessed the name of Jesus. And that name of Jesus turned that man from a beggar to a builder. I'm going somewhere today. God's grace will turn us from beggars to builders. What do I mean by that? I mean by this, that this man received the power of God, and he and Peter took his hand. He stood up. He started jumping and walking and leaping in the church. And now he's healed. And now he has a testimony. And that testimony can change people's lives. Your problem is your promotion in the Spirit. In other words, your mess is your message. And God, you might be in a mess today. You might be dealing with some areas in your life, but your mess is going to be your message. Your test is going to be your testimony. Amen. And what is God doing? He's turning beggars into builders. Do you believe that today? Say, I'm not a beggar. I'm a builder. And I'm telling you, we're coming from becoming beggars to becoming builders in the kingdom of God. So we discover in this series that God's grace works the best in times of need. Amen. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. There's that word bold. There's that word bold. Because it's the bold, not the timid, that's going to get the blessings of God working in their lives. He said, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We found out that God's grace will strengthen us. You in 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So God's grace will help us. God's grace will strengthen us. And God's grace will help us walk acceptably before the Lord. In Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I love this because think about this. Where is the kingdom of God located? Where is it located? Some say it's in heaven. The kingdom of God is in heaven. It's way up there. We just got to just be able to just get on the highest mountain and try to reach God. No, the kingdom of God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. He said, the kingdom of God is in you. Now notice this. It says the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. So if the kingdom of God cannot be shaken, I'm going somewhere, and the kingdom is in you, then I'm going to say to you this, to this day, you cannot be shaken. If the kingdom cannot be shaken, no matter what winds of adversity is blowing your way, you will not be shaken. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? In other words, what is the kingdom of God? It's His rulership. It's His reign. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, we rule and reign in our domain. Say, I'm ruling, I'm reigning in my domain. So the kingdom of God is in every believer. And when you recognize that it's in every believer, it's in us, that we can access the blessings of God no matter what is coming at us, no matter what we might be encountering. We must realize that greater grace in our lives can cause us to overcome every weakness that the flesh produces. Amen? Because sometimes we have weaknesses in our flesh that will try to keep us down. But God's grace can help us overcome. Does anybody have any weaknesses in your flesh? Does anybody struggle with anything in here? Amen. Does anybody have any struggles? Amen. Well, God's grace can help you through the struggle. Amen. So we need to, I'm going to focus on this. God's grace in our lives must be recognized and acted on so we can have more grace working in our lives. I like to say it this way. There's like three types of graces. There's good grace, better grace, and best grace. That's what I like. Some of us are walking in good grace. What's that? We're just making it. That's the grace we're in. I'm just making it, Pastor. I was just good that I even showed up today. I mean, I almost didn't even make it into church today. I mean, I'm just making it. I think God wants us going a little more further than just making it. Okay. Have you ever been there? I'm just making it. Some of you say, that's where I'm at right now. Well, let's go to the next level. Amen. There's better grace. And that's the better grace is that you're not just making it. You have a little bit more to help people make it. You have a little bit more. And then you have the best grace. And the best grace is an overflowing grace. It's a grace that not only meets your needs, but meets your wants as well. I'm going to say again, it's an overflowing grace that not only meets your needs, but meets your wants. The Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? For anything. In other words, when Jesus, when He multiplied the fish and the loaves, the Bible said they ate as much as they wanted. It wasn't like, let's get just a little piece of bread, a little piece of fish, and just be happy with that little bit. No, they ate as much as they wanted. Think about this. So what am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about an overflowing grace that you cannot tap out. I'm talking about a grace that you cannot empty the grace of God. In other words, God's grace is so big, it's so awesome that you can't fathom the depths of it. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about that we can walk in this type of grace. Say, I can walk in it. So say, I'm going towards the best grace. You say, where did you get that at? The good, acceptable, and perfect. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? That's why I got the good, the best, and the better. And instead of the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know? Amen. Are you hearing? Some of us are in the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got to get out of that. Amen? So we can obtain the highest degree of grace in our lives. Amen? And God's grace enables us to move forward, to progress. Now, we talked about in this series of different characters in the Bible that walked in the grace of God. It's all started in the Old Testament. It goes all in the New Testament. God's grace works all through the Bible. And God's grace really works in the Bible. Number one, God's grace should compel us to worship God. I would say again, the first thing when we encounter Jesus, the first thing that we should be doing, the first thing that we have a desire to do is worship Jesus. You never desired to worship God until Jesus came into your life. You never desire to bow to Jesus until Jesus, that's the first thing. Amen. And so we know this, that Abel worshiped God, and when he worshiped God, he gave his very best. God's love will empower us to worship him, and in our worship, we will have a desire to give our very best. So it goes from worship, then it goes to walking with God. We found this out in Enoch, walked with God. We know Enoch was a worshiper, but you got to go from worshiping to walking. Say, I'm going from worshiping to walking with God. And then Enoch walked with God, and the Bible said God's grace raptured him. And then number three, we know that Noah built an ark. And so we go from worship, amen, to walking with God, to working with God. Now, I like to say, I had it in my notes, working for God. I'm working for the man, you know. But you're not working for God. You're working with God. Amen. I'm going to say again, you're not working. Oh, I'm working for God. I'm working. No, you're working with God. I got to work for God. No, you're working with him. It's you and God, the hope of glory. We're working together to accomplish something amazing in this life. So it goes from worship to walking to working with God. That's what the grace of God is designed to do. It's to empower us to worship. It's empower us to walk. It empowers us to work in the kingdom of God. Amen? And so when we're empowered to do these things, we will accomplish God's will and his ways. Now let's talk about this, and let's talk about a little bit about how people worked for God and how people walked with God. We know that Joseph was sold out to God, and God gave Joseph a vision, and he went from, you know, being in Potiphar's house to being a slave to being in the prison to being a prisoner, and then the grace finally came and he became a ruler in Egypt. And so that's the progression of our lives. We go from being a slavery to the sinfulness of our own whims to being a servant and a son of the Most High God. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? We come out of slavery into sonship. And some of you might be in some type of slavery today, but I'm saying this, that the grace of God can get you out of slavery to your flesh and get you to become a son of the living God. Those that are led by my Spirit are sons of God. So let's look at our part here. In Galatians 2:9, it says, When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So what am I saying? I'm focusing on this. Paul had a understanding that Paul would write in his letters to the church, he would always reveal the fact that God's grace was working in his life. Paul was one of the most effective ministers of the gospel in the New Testament. Paul wrote 2/3 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the New Testament. Paul did a lot more than most of the other apostles. Why? Because of the grace of God working in his life. And so Paul recognized that the grace was working in his life, and he says in this letter to the Galatians, he says, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me. Notice they perceived the grace that they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. So we know this, that Paul was grace to the Gentiles. He wasn't grace to the circumcised or the Jewish people. And so I'm going to say this, that God will grace you for a certain task and for a certain thing for you to do. And if you get out of your place, you get out of your grace. And Paul understood that he wasn't called to the Jewish people. He failed miserably in getting Jewish people saved. But he did get a lot of Gentiles saved. Why? That's where his grace was at. I'm going to say this to you today. Stay in your grace. Stay in your place. And when you stay in your place, you'll stay in your grace and you won't fall on your face. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so I love this. And then in Galatians 2:9, the Amplified, it says, when they perceived, recognized, and understood, and acknowledged. See, we need to perceive, we need to recognize, we need to understand, and we need to acknowledge the grace that God has placed in our lives. And when we start perceiving and recognizing that grace, the grace of God will work better in our lives. You believe that today? Does the grace of God need to be perceived to be received? Not necessarily. God's grace can be on you and you may not be aware of it, but you need to get a revelation. When good things are happening, God's grace is working. I'm going to say that again. I know when things aren't working, the grace isn't working. I'm going to say that again. Things aren't working in your life, the grace isn't working in your life. And when things are flowing and seem to be working, it seems to be easy, everything seems to be falling in place, that's the grace of God working in your life. I like what Paul says in Romans. It says here, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points and remind you because of the grace given to me by God that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offerings of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So we see here Paul is in Romans is saying that the grace of God, notice he says here, I've written more boldly. See, the grace of God will always cause you to be bold. You got to pray for boldness. You got to stand fearless in the face of opposition. And the grace will cause you to be bold. See, when the enemy attacks, you attack him back. When the enemy starts throwing a symptom on you, you better start speaking the word in boldness. When the enemy starts saying, you're not going to make it, you better start saying, God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When the enemy says that you're sick, you better say, by Jesus' stripes, and boldly, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed, delivered, and set free. When my rib was hurting, because I took that crash yesterday. I said, oh, and I started thinking, yeah, and I think I broke my rib. And she said, you didn't break your rib. I think I might have bruised myself. Oh, she said, you might be a little sore, but you're all right. I said, okay, I guess I'm all right. You know, us men can be babies. We can be the biggest babies out here. Is that right? Is that right, ladies? Can us men be the babies? You ladies, you go through heck every month, amen? You go through heck through your entire life, and you guys are tough. Us men, if we have a hangnail, we're crying about it, glory to God. Amen. Women are tough. You have babies. My Lord Jesus, thank God that I don't have babies, amen? I mean, I'm telling you, us men, we have it easy, don't we, ladies? Amen. Some of the ladies say amen on that. Us men have it easy, glory to God. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that Paul is saying that the grace caused him to be bold, but the grace helped him to minister to the Gentiles, and it was his grace that did that. Notice in Romans 3:6, it says here, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, individual members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them in prophecy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. So Paul is saying here that through the grace that was given to him, and that grace that's given to us, it gives us faith. And that faith gives us the ability to do the work that God's calling us to do. So God's grace gives us faith to walk in the giftings and the callings of God. And he says that you have giftings and callings. And he's saying that you need to start walking them out. You need to start doing the giftings and callings that God has placed in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Start working the work of Jesus. Amen? And so Paul said that. I love what it says in Ephesians 3:2-7, it says, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he has made known to me the mystery I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge of my mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So what is Paul saying here in a nutshell? He's saying that the dispensation of his grace, God's grace gave him revelation knowledge of the Word of God, and that revelation knowledge he received, he was able to give it to each one of us. And so I'm going to say this, that when you're walking in the grace of God, God's grace will reveal mysteries of the Word of God in your life, and those mysteries are hidden jewels that will help us to move forward in God. I don't know about you, but sometimes the Bible is like a mystery book, and it has to be unlocked and decoded by the Holy Spirit. And unless you have the Holy Spirit of grace working in your life, you won't be able to decode the Bible. You won't be able to receive what the Bible has for you to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God in your life. In Colossians, it says here, in 1:25, it says, in which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me to fulfill the word of God. And in Colossians 29, it says, at the end, I will labor, striving according to the working, which works in me mightily. So I'm going to say this, that the grace of God that Paul attests that he was walking in helped him to preach the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we understand that that grace of God is not just for us, but it's for all those that we come in contact with, and it's for us to get a revelation that God's grace can empower us to do the impossible. And when we start giving recognition to the grace that's in our lives, the grace of God will start working greater in our lives. Somebody say, the grace is working mightily in me. Somebody say, I can overcome all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. When you start speaking boldly the promises of God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When you start preaching boldly the promises of God, even when things don't look right, when things look bad, you just speak light in the dark areas of your life, and light will dispel the darkness, and you'll come out victorious at the end every time. You're moving towards victory. You're going from defeat to victory. You're going from being conquered to being a conqueror. You're going from being a victim to being a victor. Do you receive it today? I'm telling you, receive the grace and believe the faith and walk in the power of God so you can change not only your life, but the lives of people all around you. Did you receive it this morning? Father, let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you that you're moving supernaturally. We give heed to your grace. We recognize the grace of God that you have placed on us. That grace gives us faith to accomplish the plan and the will of God for our lives. I'm asking, Father God, that you draw each person today by your Spirit. Perhaps you're listening or watching, and you've never really experienced the grace of Jesus. Maybe you've never inquired or asked Jesus to come into your heart. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God's grace is drawing you today. And so you have the power by speaking words and believing in your heart to receive Christ. If you're ready to move forward in the grace walk with God, just pray this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.